You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Whenever people get into this space of saying, hey, should this pastor spend his money this way? It's an irrelevant question. It's should this person who's a follower of Jesus spend their money in this way? That's the question.
What's up, everybody? Thanks for tuning in to the Preachers and Sneakers podcast. Today, I had the opportunity to talk to another great friend, Will Bostian. Will's the preaching pastor at the City Church in Fort Worth and has some really convicting insights into the Preachers and Sneakers conversation, which really challenged me and I'm sure will be a benefit to you as well. He knows the Bible incredibly well and has lived through being scrutinized as a pastor, which I thought would be a helpful perspective for all of us. Okay, here's my conversation with Will Bostian. All right, so my next guest is another really good buddy that I've known for only maybe 4 years, 3 years, but has quickly become one of my best friends in the world, which I'm allowed to have multiple best friends. Before you message me, oh, you have a lot of best friends. I'm sorry for loving people. But I'm talking to my homie, Will Bostian, who I knew from our time in Austin, but we are now talking in Fort Worth at his house because he is the preaching pastor, which seems like a redundant title, preaching pastor. But I guess there you can be a pastor without preaching and vice versa from what I've learned. At City Church in Fort Worth, and he's been there for what?
6 months. Six months. Not very long.
Not super long, but he's doing it real big now, and I wanted to get his thoughts on this whole money and materialism and celebrity pastors and finding our identity in what we wear, because honestly, and we could talk about it later, but honestly, right when this thing was blowing up, he had some pretty helpful and also rebuking words for my own attitude in this thing, which helped me kind of shape the up and down direction that I've taken this account. So, Will, thanks for being on the Preachers and Sneakers podcast.
Man, it is a pleasure to be here.
Life is ridiculous.
It's a pleasure to be here with you, man.
So tell me a little bit about City Church and what you're doing there. And maybe, well, I guess back up and maybe talk about how you got here. Maybe mm-hmm. the position you had in Austin as well as maybe in Dallas before that.
Yeah. So the quick flyover is I actually started out after college working for a high level politician in the state of Texas. So I did that for a little while. Yeah. So he's the lieutenant governor of Texas for a long time. And I was a special assistant to him. So just ran around with him for a year out of college, didn't know what I was doing. And eventually from there, just realized he was going to run for U.S. Senate. And I didn't, it's a big undertaking and not one I felt like I wanted to be a part of. And so I actually ended up at a place called Mission of Hope in Haiti. So I spent a season of life down there in Haiti and loved that country and loved those people and got to be a part of something really special there. And from that point, just wanted to grow and understanding pastoral leadership and felt like that was the right next step to kind of be trained up in pastoral leadership. And so I took a step and went and did a residency program with Watermark Community Church in Dallas. So did that for 2 years, did college ministry at Southern Methodist University in Dallas. And from that point, had the opportunity to go work with the lead pastor of the Austin Stone, a guy named Kevin Peck. And so Kevin
Shouts out to the Austin Stone.
Yes, I love the Austin Stone, and that was the Watermark and the Stone are both family for me, and love those folks a lot. And Kevin was super faithful just as a leader and allowed me to learn and grow a ton during my 4 years at the Stone. And as I was coming to the end of that 4 years, I just realized that the roles I was serving in were not what I felt like I had to be serving in to provide for my family. And so I was either going to step away from that and go into the marketplace and get a job and provide for my family and be a follower of Jesus, making disciples in kind of everyday life. Or if God wanted to call me into a leadership role in his church, then I knew that he would provide for me financially in that way too. So we kind of took a step away from ministry and had a season of transition. During that transition season, had some kind of miraculous opportunities to be confirmed in ministry leadership. I feel like God opened some doors there to continue on there. And eventually we landed at the City Church in Fort Worth. And the City Church is almost 10 years old. It's planted by a guy named Ben Conley. And so Ben is transitioning into more of a church planter training role. And City Church, honestly, is just in a place where we're really needed to renew our vision as a church, come around what we think are the basics of why do we exist, how do we behave, what do we do, what's most important right now, those kind of questions. And so that's, we're in the process of answering those questions again as a church so that we can kind of push forward into Fort Worth, seeing the kingdom advanced and seeing people grow in their own faith and then inviting other people into that faith as well.
So we're talking about materialism, both in everyday Christians and also pastors. We got here by a weird, messy way, and part of what I wanted to talk to you about is still processing whether or not this whole thing is good or not. When we first talked, you had some pretty good things to say and convicting things to say about, like, how, I'm not going to word this the best, but how our paychecks are both the same and no more one or the other, because all the money is God's money.
Yeah.
And I wanted to get back to that because I thought that was a powerful statement. But also, I guess with that, I wanted to get your thoughts on celebrity pastors, or just the whole concept of maybe mainstream celebrity Christian culture and how the fashion and brand name stuff fits in.
Yeah, for sure. I got you. So there was a few things with the early on, I don't even have Instagram. I'm not super connected. I don't do well with like trying to live in that space. I'm always then trying to frame things for how everybody else will see them.
Yes.
And so I just kind of cut the cord on that. And so my wife kind of was like, man, hey, check out this thing that's going on. I think we may know who's operating this thing, you know? Yeah. And when I saw it, you know, there's something in there laced into these ideas that is really dangerous. And so I'll frame it up this way. I have a baby girl, she's 2 years old. And one of the first things that I'll help her understand in her lifetime is that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It's first verse in the Bible. And why would I start there? Because what that means is God made everything. And so if we have that understanding of the world where God made everything, then that means that everything is given to us, that it has been entrusted to us by him. He's the one who owns everything. So the implications of that mean that I am only a steward of things that God has entrusted to me. So I'm made in his image. We as human beings carry with us the Imago Dei. What that means is that we're made to be in relationship with God and to represent his authority in the world. It's an amazing thing. In all the universe, there's nothing more valuable than a human being. It's crazy. But that also means that I'm nothing more than a representative of the king. Actually, I was in the state capitol last week and kind of got in trouble. Somebody didn't love that I started out not praying like I was supposed to, but kind of mentioning the fact that I was here under the authority of the king of the universe, which is higher than any authority of any government, right? It's not.
Even in Texas?
Yeah, even in Texas, it's not comfortable for a lot of people.
I'll agree to disagree.
Yeah. So that means that everything's entrusted to us. So even the giftedness, and this where this works its way into money. Money, we've created money as human beings as currency, how we can operate and acquire certain goods. It's helpful in a lot of ways. But all that money and that wealth even was earned through gifts and abilities that you have that God gave you. And so even if you can't trace, well, God didn't just like put this money into my account, which I've like had people be generous to me. And I've literally seen money show up in my account. And I'm like, well, I know where this came from, but it's not any more my money or less my money when God gives it to me that way. versus, hey, he gave you the giftedness to be able to understand finance, so you're going to go make money in this financial realm. Or, you know, he gave you ability to be a musician and to write songs. Where did all that stuff come from? Like, that's all his stuff. And so he's entrusting that to you. So our posture as human beings is stewards of our resources. And so when somebody pays you for your work in the financial realm, like that money is not any more yours than somebody whose paycheck comes from a church. So the church organization, what people, even that paycheck, what it means is people have generously given, they've contributed to the church in order to redeem, buy back my time. So the people of City Church, they're saying, hey, we're going to give money to City Church. Why? Because we're going to buy back Will's time so he doesn't go and spend 40, 60, 80 hours a week cranking away at this job. We want him to spend that time helping to prepare and equip the saints for the work of the ministry. It doesn't mean I do the ministry either. It means I'm helping, and somehow we believe that my giftedness and my best and highest use is to say, hey, I'm going to spend time studying God's word so I can encourage you from it. Or we're going to kind of build these structures in the church to create avenues for discipleship, or, you know, whatever that looks like. But in theory, that, you know, like, and this is not in theory. Last summer, I walked through the process of saying, hey, God, do you want me to take my time and go put that into commercial real estate so I can earn money for my family that way and make disciples in that space? Or would you have me come off the front lines of ministry effectively? That's what ministers are, or pastors. Like, we're called back from the front lines because we're going to help the troops and we're going to help equip them, encourage them for the sake of doing the work of the ministry. And so that's why whenever people get into the space of saying, hey, should this pastor spend his money this way? It's an irrelevant question. It's, should this person who's a follower of Jesus spend their money in this way? Right. That's the question. Because none of it's any more his or my, you know, I don't even know half these guys. So, you know, TD Jakes, is he going to spend his money on X? You know, should he be doing that since he's a pastor? Should he be doing that as a follower of Jesus is the question. And so that's kind of that conversation that we had.
Applies to all of us.
Yeah. That's, I mean, and I would say for anybody, people who are listening to this, who are not followers of Jesus, am I going to like say, you know, judge you or say, hey, you shouldn't spend your money this way or that way? My issue or my concern first is with you being reconciled, restored to God through relationship, through the gospel. That's what the message is. I don't have any expectation of you apart from being a part of the family of God. Right. And so when you're part of that family, then you should know, and hopefully you're encouraged to realize, hey, you have a dad who's entrusted you with that. How does your dad want you to spend that? Because he's not against you. He doesn't want to steal your joy or rob you. A friend of mine, a great pastor that I know, he's always talking about how, you know, God doesn't want your money. He doesn't want your, it's not that God wants your money. He doesn't want your money to have you. And so it's more about how your money has got a hold of your heart or not, and how God wants you to steward that for the sake of his kingdom. I live in a house that somebody stewarded his money by saying, hey, I want you to live in this house functionally. Like, that's how we're able to even to live in this house, is somebody who was really generous towards us. And that's how he stewarded his money, because hopefully I'm leveraging my time, talent, and resources to make disciples in this space. So,
yeah, that's legit.
Wanting money to not have you. It's like super convicting for everybody, because ultimately it is so easy to get into that where everything revolves around making more money, being in school to get a better job in order to get more money, in order to maybe live in more comfort or something is super convicting. And that's like so easy for us to fall into that, believers and non-believers. I think a lot of people would ask a follow-up question to that, to what you just said, is there any place to question optics for pastors? Because I think that's a lot of people come from a lot of different areas of life that follow my account. And even that's kind of where I started initially. Yeah. It was like this, something about this feels icky.
Yeah.
And I don't know why this stirs up something within me. So Matt Carter, the lead pastor at Allison Stone, if you saw Matt Carter step up in clearly a Gucci labeled jacket that you looked up later and saw that it was worth $3,000. Would that stir up anything in you? And then if so, what is that? Because honestly, this is helping me process all this. And so
Sure. I think you're right to ask the question. I don't think it's wrong to ask the question. I for one, would never know. I would have like, so right, that's right. That's the genius of Preachers and Sneakers, is that you actually have a really helpful understanding of that market, you know, that I would not know. Like my shoes... we're going to get into this in just a second, how my shoes probably should end up on Preachers and Sneakers in some ways. But if I saw Matt step up and do that. And I noticed like, hey, there's an extravagance to your life. There's something that seems to be there. Then that would serve me because I know Matt's heart and I know where he stands with Jesus. I would say, hey, Matt, what's going on with these expenditures? And are these in line with what you think God's wanting, how he's wanting you to spend that cash? Right. Mm-hmm. That's like a brother to brother thing. It's probably also like a Matthew 18 kind of thing, because he is my brother saying, hey, there's something I want to go to you directly on this. Cause, and I've had people come directly to me on things they have questions about. And I think it's really helpful,
yeah.
But I'd have to go to Matt and say, hey, do you think that's how God wants you to spend his money? He hopefully would say, yeah, let's look at both of our finances. You know, let's both of us review and see, are we stewarding this stuff faithfully? And the question there, so 1 Timothy 6:10 says, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. And then Hebrews 13:5 says, keep your life free from the love of money. And it's not keep your life free from money. Right.
Right.
So I actually hope there's tons of people who have tons of wealth. They're going to hear this or this conversation is going to stir in their heart a realization that, man, you know what? I think there's actually an eternal return I could get on the way that I invest this stuff. That maybe God wants to redeem this for more than just stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's the love of money. And so God is after our hearts. He's always been after our hearts. Unbelief, it's evil unbelief in your heart that he's after rooting that out. And mm-hmm. So the love of money is the issue, not money. So just to be clear on that, like if you have tons of money, I have very rich friends. I have very poor friends. I have very rich friends. And it's not the amount of cash they have. It's the grip on they have. It's what they're worshiping, right?
Yeah.
So, but I would have that conversation with Matt. But Matt Carter, to me, is very, very, very different than a lot of the guys that I'm seeing show up on these posts. And so that would be, you know, the most damning thing about what's going on there is not the shoes that they're wearing. It's the gospel that they're preaching.
Yeah.
And that would be, so I don't even know that I'm talking to a brother half the time, like somebody who's in the family of God, because the gospel they're preaching is so distorted sometimes. I'm not trying to say people are saved or not saved. That's a longer, more in-depth conversation. But I would say that a lot of things that are being said, the things that are coming out of their mouths are more harmful than the shoes that they're wearing. But the shoes that they're wearing, maybe that could serve as a flag of some kind to say, hey, leader in God's church, are you stewarding this the way that you're calling everybody else to steward their stuff? And yeah. And you know what, like that's something like pastors are not immune to their hearts getting all twisted up and getting off track. Pastors need to live. If you're a pastor listening to this and you're not living in transparent community with somebody where somebody can dig into and say, hey, this is what's in your bank account. These are the expenditures that are, you know, plus 5K that I see. And some of the stuff doesn't add up, man. Tell me about that.
What if he said these were a gift? Like I've gotten amazing gifts before. But like more of a ostentatious nature. Like, so going back to Matt Carter's Lamborghini.
Yeah.
So like he rolls up in a Lamborghini, says, hey bro, this is a gift. Like, what are we as laymen or people within the Big C church supposed to do with that?
Yeah.
If anything.
Well, it's a strange gift to give somebody. right. I mean, unless they're really
into it. Where are these people that are giving out Lambos?
So that's the question that you want. I think it's helpful to get to in terms of optics.
Yeah.
So optics are funny. So we're studying the Sermon on the Mount this summer at City Church. So come to that if you live in Fort Worth.
Okay.
We're going to study that. And so optics are really interesting because Jesus spends a second half of Sermon on the Mount saying, hey, don't pray in order to be seen. Don't give in order to be seen. Don't do these things for the sake of optics because that's empty. And the reward that you're going to get is actually one that comes from your Heavenly Father. And you're getting a reward from men, which is infinitely less relevant and valuable. But then at the beginning of it, he talks about how we are called to be salt of the earth and the light of the world. And so the way that we steward our stuff and our resources, our time, talent, and resources, the way we steward those things ought to tell a story of something that's, they ought to tell the story of God's glory, right? In the way that we spend our money. And that doesn't mean we don't go on vacation or like we don't give our family nice things. Like let's do that. Like if we can, that's awesome. But for the Lamborghini, I think it should be if it was a gift, I think I would wonder, and I think there's space for a conversation to say, what does a Lamborghini cost? I don't know, $150,000. hey man, there's, you know, I know you're really into sports cars. Tell me about this gift. And quite frankly, if he's like, dude, this guy just gave me a Lamborghini, I can't sell it. I know somebody who's been given a house in a very nice neighborhood in Dallas, and they can't ungive it. Right.
Right.
So what are they supposed to do with that? Man, they're supposed to live in that house to God's glory, reach their neighbors, which I think they are,
mm-hmm.
Engage with them, pay their taxes, be super faithful. I don't think, you know, like when it comes to that's the optics question. I do think, we're better served by paying really close attention to our own hearts and our own accounts.
Yeah.
And so, that seems like a cop-out answer, but I don't think it is. Jesus says, hey, if you're really tempted to go pull out the speck that's in your brother's eye, hey, should he have given you that gift? Man, double down on the log that's sticking out of your eye.
Yeah.
Is your life telling that story too? And if it's not, then man, let's align our own lives to that and ask those questions. And, yeah, people give me really nice gifts. And I try to take good care of them and, steward them well. And, but I don't necessarily like, so the passage that comes to mind is Judas, when a woman came and she broke open this jar of perfume and she poured it on Jesus. Pure nard. I was actually avoiding the nard dog, but perfume. And it was really expensive. Like, I think it was like a year's worth. It was like basically like 30K, right? Or maybe 40K.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was expensive, really, really expensive stuff. And they were like, oh man, well, you should have taken that, sold it. And then you could have like, how many people could you have fed with that? And Jesus rebukes them. Because he says, hey, you guys don't know what you're talking about. She was in this doing something that you can't quite conceive of, because this was an act of worship for her. This was the way that she was going to engage in worshiping me. And so do you know who is like the chief voice who is condemning all those people or condemning the woman? Judas Iscariot. Judas was the one who was like, hey, man, like you guys should have sold that and given it to the poor. But the scriptures tell us what was going on in his heart. What was really going on in his heart was he was saying, you guys should have sold that so we could have more cash in our account, because he was taking advantage of the cash that was in the account.
Hmm.
So that to me, like, that's why I'm going to spend way less time saying, dude, why'd you give that guy a Lamborghini? Like, that's not, I don't have to answer for that guy giving Matt Carter a Lamborghini.
Right.
Matt, I hope you get a Lamborghini out of this, buddy.
Yes.
And we can drive around together.
Agreed.
Matt, I, for the record, I love Matt Carter, and the gospel he preaches is super faithful and powerful. I love him. And
check him out on YouTube, grabbing a pheasant out of the pure.
He's also really gifted in that way too. but yeah, that's why I'm going to spend way less time saying, hey, should you have done that, and way more time saying, hey, does my account, do my expenses line up with what God's called me to? And am I worshiping God with my time and talent and resources?
Okay, let me, I guess, two questions. One, the nard thing, we're talking about Jesus at that point.
Right.
And is that equating too much these pastors,
yes,
with Jesus?
Yes. Just like, I want to get in early on that and say, yeah, I'm not making a one-to-one of saying,
right,
giving Rich Wilkerson a Lamborghini or a jet is like giving Jesus perfume.
But the commentary is pretty much the same. Like, reading the comments, a lot of people will say,
oh, you're Judas Iscariot, right?
That and like, hey, if this guy would have sold these Balenciaga shoes, he could have paid a month's rent for one of the poor people in their congregation.
Yeah.
I guess it when you have such a massive impact, I still feel uneasy about, if I was like struggling to make ends meet and I was still trying to tithe to the church, and then I go into one of these guys' churches and for whatever reason, I know about sneakers, and I see him wearing $1,000 pair of sneakers. Like, what am I supposed to do about that, either as a non-believer or as a believer? That's like, maybe that's two different answers, but as a non-believer, it's a lot of people, and I agree with it in a lot of ways, is that like, that would make me,
mm-hmm, yeah,
angry. And then as a believer also, like, if I was struggling, like, none of us are called, like, he doesn't promise wealth or prosperity,
no,
or riches. And so if I am in that season of life, or I am poor, but am a believer and understand the gospel, but I'm really like legitimately struggling to meet bills, like pay bills, and I'm still trying to be faithful and tithe, what am I supposed to do with that?
Yeah. So a lot of this is made more like it's the stakes are higher because of those churches are that have thousands of people in them.
Yeah.
Right. And so if you're that person and you are struggling to make ends meet and like the just cash is really tight. Right. And you're part of a family of God, like a church body, like that church body, the way that plays out in the scriptures is, where somebody's hurting, your family can help. Right. And so for the healthiest churches, I know what that looks like is, hey, are you walking in community with us? Not like, are you just showing up on Sunday and seeing this guy wearing really nice shoes? And you're like, well, what the heck, man? I'm having a hard time finding, you know, like I'm eating fast food or ramen noodles all the time.
Yeah. Like, the freeze dried kind. Yeah. Not frou-frou ramen.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I don't even know what that is. we only have freeze dried ramen. My wife likes it right now cause she's pregnant. So if you're walking in authentic biblical community, I think that's a deeper problem in like this, the representation or the conceptualization of the church in that sense, where it's a thing that you attend, a place that you go and not a people that you belong to. But if it is a people that you belong to and you are in a place where you're like, man, we don't have enough money, that should for your community stir up a conversation of saying, man, where are you spending your money? And how can I help you? How can I help you meet the need that you have? I have a need to help meet your need is when the same guy, another pastor I've referenced already says that all the time. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really helpful because, that's what biblical community looks like. I think is, I think James talks about how, if you see your, I think it's James, I'm going to sound dumb if it's not, James talks about how if you see somebody in need and you, no, it's John. Sorry. Cut out all of this part.
Yeah. All right. Mark for cutting. This is a pretty low budget operation. So we're doing it live at this point. This is a one take situation.
Just kidding. No, but the scriptures do talk about how, if you see somebody in need and you tell them, hey, go in peace. Hey, I love you. But you're not going to help them meet the need, then you're not really loving them. Right.
Yeah.
And so for sure, I think there should be questions of saying, hey, dude, your shoes cost so much money. And that to me, so Romans 14, 14:14, says, I know and am persuaded in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself, but it is unclean for anyone who thinks it is unclean. He's talking about food and food sacrificed to idols and mm-hmm. stuff. If your brother is grieved by what you eat, you are no longer walking in love. By what you eat, do not destroy the one for whom Christ died. So do not let what you regard as good be spoken of as evil. Even before that, verse 13, he says, therefore, let us not pass judgment on one another any longer, but rather decide never to put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of a brother. Okay, so that would be a place where you're saying, hey, if you're going to wear ostentatious clothes and live in that, you know, like live that lifestyle, that should and could raise questions for people who are maybe financially struggling. And so maybe that's not helpful for them thriving in Jesus. I'm not going to tell them, hey, like this is where the sneaker price comes into play because, quite frankly, I wear, some Red Wing boots. They were a Christmas present and, I wear them all the time and run them into the ground. But those, I don't know how much they cost, maybe like $200, $150. And I'm sure that a lot of these guys are making way more money than I am, more than 8 times what I make. And so percentage wise, my shoes represent the equal amount of my paycheck, right. You know? And so, that's where you run into a space of trying to say, well, you should or shouldn't buy that. The question honestly is not whether or not people like think of you that way or like, hey, somebody in your congregation to see you wearing that shirt and think, man, he shouldn't be wearing that shirt. That's less of what it's about, I think, and more about of trying to understand how you're going to shepherd your people well and point them towards something more. And so that's not a catch-all answer. Hey, should so and so wear $1,000 shoes? Like I don't know. Like
right.
I probably wouldn't. You know, especially because a lot of them are goofy looking, you know? Yeah. super expensive.
It's not about the look, bro.
Yeah. I guess it's about the price. And that to me is again, it's not an optics question because who you're answering to on that is God.
Yeah.
Right. And you're answering to God for two things on that. Especially as a leader in God's church, you're going to answer to him on how you are stewarding his resources. So, hey, are you loving money? Are you loving the, the prestige that comes with you wearing these shoes? If so, that's wicked, man. That's an evil, unbelieving heart because you're not treasuring Jesus above all things.
Yeah.
Right? The second thing you're going to answer for is, hey, is somehow as a leader in God's church, are you directing people's attention towards something other than Jesus? That doesn't mean I go around wearing like Amish clothes or something.
Yeah.
But like, where are the clothes? Whatever. Paul talks so much about how women, hey, don't adorn yourself with all these other things. Why is it? My wife wears earrings. Is that the point for her to not wear earrings? No, it's for her to be adorned with something greater than earrings. Mm-hmm. Right. And so if you are wearing that stuff in order to portray yourself as something, that I would say it's betraying something in your heart that is the bigger problem.
Yeah.
And again, I have yet to see somebody on any of these posts that I wouldn't say, man, please go and listen to what they're saying because I think they're going to lead you towards life. I really haven't. Like, maybe some, like, Hillsong people or something, you know, but, like, even then, their music is really good, but like,
yeah.
In terms of like solid doctrine that I know is going to point you towards where life is really found, which is in Jesus, and not just saying Jesus. We can't just say Jesus and all of a sudden, boom, it's awesome. Because people, you know, Benny Hinn says Jesus all the time.
Yeah, come on.
But in reality, he's not pointing towards righteousness that is earned by Jesus's work alone. There, and he's not trying to point you towards a happy life. He's trying to point you towards eternal hope in Jesus. So all these guys are preaching a gospel that's fake and false and won't get you anywhere. It won't save you. And that to me is the thing that weighs heavy on my soul. And so, man, may it not be said of me that like my shoes or my shirts or my hats or whatever distracted people from what is truly glorious in Jesus.
Yeah. A follow-up to that is I'm honestly trying to understand whether or not this whole Preachers and Sneakers account fits into any of this, because a lot of the critics, even from Hillsong, would say, this isn't my place to point any of this out. Like, even like you said, in line with the Bible, it's like we are to come to our leaders and fellow brothers and sisters in Christ in private to admonish them or rebuke them or at least ask a question about, hey, why are you living this way? But now I'm in this place where this is a very public thing, and it started as, I mean, the point was to never reach more than 50 people that I already knew.
Right.
But now it has blown up into this public thing where a lot of people think that I'm calling these guys out, and a lot of like Christians and biblical scholars have messaged me and commented saying like, hey, this isn't your place. This is clearly against what the Bible says you should do as a believer in Christ or a member of the church. Like one should be a part of that local community and have a relationship in order. Like I talked to Justice Marima yesterday, and he even said this too, like it's about relationship. Like if you have a relationship, you do have the right to come to that person and say, hey bro, why? Like, I just want to ask you about this, and not like blast it out on social media and in all of the news media, which I think is fair. But my follow-up to that is it doesn't seem like any of those questions were happening. Like there's so many people that feel passionate about like, hey, this seems weird that they're wearing $1,000 kicks and $3,000 jackets, but it doesn't seem like in private anyone, it didn't seem like anyone was like, hey, dude, what are you doing? Like, which goes back to this whole celebrity pastor thing, which there does seem like there is some amount of almost like rulership over the church where they're inaccessible, or like the question is, do they have wise people that are speaking into their lives? And if they do, is everyone just okay? Just like, you know what? I'm with you on the Gucci jacket. I'm good with that. So like, I fully empathize and realize that the Bible doesn't speak specifically to what I'm doing. Like I'm every day, like I want to be cognizant of the fact that like, I recognize that if I could go back and do this again, I would probably message these guys and be like, hey, this feels weird to me. Have you ever thought about this? But the rebuttal to that is like they would have just declined the message and never responded because I'm a peon, nobody.
Yeah.
And so now that it's been brought up to light, people are like, hey, dude, you should have done this in private. It's like nobody would have listened to me.
Yeah.
Well, and so I guess I want to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah. You know, what I'm thinking about in all of that is I'm curious, and maybe somebody can tell you if this is the case. I'm curious if anybody who's actually sitting underneath the teaching and influence of any of those leaders has had their mind changed through any of that. That's one question I would have, because it is being brought to the light. But my guess is that like all that's being brought to light is, oh, wow. And these guys' shoes cost a lot of money, you know, But I don't know that anybody's heart is getting changed through all of that. That's what I would be curious.
Through their preaching or through?
Through the preachers and sneakers. Okay. Through the social media platform. I think social media has some amount of capacity to help and influence, but it is going to be severely limited in that. So this wouldn't have existed. This conversation wouldn't have existed in a lot of ways, 50 years ago or whatever.
Right.
But, I do wonder if like anybody who's in the echo chamber that those guys exist inside of, if anybody is, actually getting changed to that. Cause that would, if so, I would say maybe there is something to it. Like maybe this is helping break through some of that. Probably, you know, even if it is going through the motions of saying, hey, I'm not tied into social media. So tell me who's one of the guys that people are hyped about or like
Judah Smith or Carl Lentz or, Ron Carpenter, T.D. Jakes.
Yeah. I think that represents a fairly wide spectrum even of itself.
Yeah.
But like if it's T.D. Jakes, yeah, send him a message. I don't think he's going to get it. And I don't think he's going to care.
Right.
I don't think he's going to care, but T.D. Jakes, like, there's so many other broken things going on with what he's saying that like, again, what his shoes are saying is the least of my problems. Judah Smith,
who apparently yesterday he said he was a fan. He thought it was hilarious.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. It seems like hard to be hilarious to me. I guess he can just take it in stride, which is cool. You know, good for him. I guess it should bring up questions. I mean, the result of it for me was like, that I was not my natural response, but what I said with my wife, the right thing for us to do here is to kind of like look back and reflect on our own hearts. Hey, where's our spending off? Like, where are we not being faithful with what we're spending? To get to the heart of the question, like, which is like, hey, should you do this or not? You know, initially, like, it is what it is. It exists now. I wouldn't have started it that way. Like, and largely unless you had taken that to those guys and said, hey, I do question this and right. I have questions about this. If you want to take the time to answer them, I would really appreciate that. Celebrity pastors, they're not that new in a sense. Like Apollos existed, like there were celebrity pastors in a way, but there's a distinction between celebrity pastors like T.D. Jakes and celebrity pastors like Matt Chandler. Matt Chandler is super faithful, man. And quite frankly, like I know he's living in an authentic biblical community where people can say, I don't think you're right in that, Matt. Like, I'm sure of that. I know the guys at the Village and I like love them. Mm-hmm. And, T.D. Jakes is in a different space, man. And I don't think there's anybody there who's necessarily saying, hey, T.D., I really wonder about this jet that you have, you know, right. Yeah. But I don't think that's their goal. So I think in a lot of ways, social media has blown this up into something that wouldn't have existed otherwise. If it were me, would it have started? No. Does it exist now? Yes. But in what to do with it now, I would say, man, I would try with all of my heart to convince people that Jesus Christ lived, died, rose again to set you free, from possessions and from any other lesser God. And so I would find positive, like guys who are living that life. And you can talk about money all you want to. Jesus talked about it more than anybody else. I would highlight what Jesus had to say about money and what healthy followers of Jesus are doing with their money. Help people know how to steward it well, not just point out where it's clear that this guy's not stewarding this resource well. Or you're not part, like celebrity pastors are unique because you're not in their congregation and part of their flock. And so in some sense, you don't have to answer to them and they don't have to answer to you on that stuff. And so, hey, you have a wide influence. And so that with that comes a wide amount of critique. It's not how I would spend my time is digging into what Judah Smith is spending on his shoes. Mm-hmm. I hope that Judah Smith's church, I'm really uninformed. I don't even know what that church is.
Sorry.
But I know who Judah Smith is, and I've listened to some things he said that have been really helpful. But I hope he's living with he's a part of a church where there's elders who can say, Judah, man, I know you made this money selling this book that was really helpful to people. You made $300,000 selling this book. And so, man, like, absolutely bless your family with that. Like, care about your family. And, get your shoes, get those shoes, bro. Those are sweet shoes. But I see a pattern here that, like, you love these shoes in a way that might be kind of infringing on Jesus.
Right.
So preachers and sneakers role in all of that. I would say, hey man, like these people are listening to what you're saying. Say the truth. They're going to see enough of untruth. Say the truth to them. Right. And so that's how my whole life is. I'm trying to bend my whole life around that, to spend all my energy and attention saying the thing that I know has the power of salvation for everyone, which is the gospel of Jesus.
Yeah.
So
that's legit. Okay. We're running out of time, but the last question, you mentioned book sales, and this is something else that has come up for me that I've been trying to wrestle through. So a lot of rebuttal for these dudes having super extravagant things or super expensive things has, like, hey, these guys go on speaking tours and sell books. Like you, so great with people making a ton of money. Like, I have no issues with wealth. The one question that's come up with book sales thing is, like, my follow-up question to their rebuttals is, well, what are they writing about? They're not writing cookbooks. They're writing best-selling books based off of things they teach as a pastor or the platforms they've built at their local churches. And so I guess I just wanted to get your opinion on where book sales fit in, and is that a worthy thing? So, like, I've got pictures of T.D. Jakes with a $5,000 Louis Vuitton laptop bag. And the response to that is he sold millions of books and he's made movies and stuff. But is it like a self-licking ice cream cone? Is it, hey, this guy has built a platform.
Yeah.
He's inspired a ton of people and he writes books based off of the God or the Bible or something. And now he is making bank off of something that is
related to God.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So my deal with T.D. Jakes, I have nothing to say to T.D. Jakes other than T.D. Jakes, I think that you are leading people astray and you'll have to answer for that.
Right.
I'll have to answer for the things that I teach, because if I'm teaching God's word, then the scripture said you're going to be held to a pretty serious level.
Yeah. So let's
speak to T.D. Jakes. I would say, my issue is I hate it that those books are even being sold. Like, don't, like, the books that are being sold are promoting something that's false. The documentary American Gospel, watch it. They do a faithful job of presenting the true gospel and contrasting that with a false gospel, which is at the heart of any of this prosperity, just trash. Like, it's leading people to trust in something. They're not worshiping God. They're worshiping money. And when they're worshiping money, that's a false god, and it's rejection of God's good authority. It's sin, and the wages of sin is death. So T.D. Jakes, I have nothing to say to you except stop teaching that stuff. For guys, I have seen a healthy model for what it looks like for guys who have been, man, they're gifted teachers and communicators of God's word, and the way that they have spoken, a lot of times it's like sermons that get translated into books anyway. And so they've done stuff and captured ideas and communicated ideas in ways that have been really helpful to people. John Piper, like, Desiring God, man, like, I don't know how many people's lives have been changed by that book. Yeah, I'm so glad he wrote that book. So glad that I got to read it. So helpful. It's like getting to sit with Pastor John and learn from him. It's so helpful, man. So I want guys to write good books. The book, Christian book industry is strange in and of itself.
Right.
Because the way that advances work, the way that you get paid up front, and you're kind of like, there's a carrot hung out in front of you to spend your time and energy writing these books
in order to sell books.
Yeah. And it is to your advantage that they sell, because then, the more they sell, the more you get paid. But a lot of times you get paid up front for your advance. And if it doesn't break a certain threshold, it doesn't matter, but you're still spending your time and energy. So one guy I know, pastor of a megachurch, didn't write a book till like 20 years into ministry, because he was spending his time shepherding in that flock that was among him. Right. He was spending his time on that. And I think that's worthwhile. So, am I ever going to write a book? Probably not. I've got a lot of people to pastor, right?
Yeah.
So if somehow somebody ever captures something I say that's worthwhile, which I doubt it, maybe it's like a pamphlet or like a note, you know, sticky note size thing. Yeah. God loves you in Jesus, you know, there you go. Hold on to that one. But the way that I have seen it done healthy, just for, you know, like, I think that if churches like are, if the elders in that church are saying, hey, Judah, or hey, Matt Carter, or hey, Todd Wagner, hey, I want you to spend your time this summer working on this book. because I think it's going to be helpful for the broader church, the Big C church. We want you to spend your time. We're going to pay for your time because we're paying you a salary, and we're paying you enough of a salary to live on. And all the sales from that can go to something else. But we're paying you enough, and we're paying you really well because you're a significant, a lot of these guys are leading really big organizations, and the competency involved in that has a high market value, just for the record.
Right.
But beyond that, pay them enough. Pay them enough to do their job and to be faithful. And if you want to redeem their time, elders, that, you know, to help steward them to write for God's Big C church, awesome. You know, but pay them enough so that they don't have to be incentivized by the paychecks that come from the books. Or the only other model I've seen that's pretty decent is that those guys who are writing from a single church, like, that pays into a LLC that's separate from all of that. And so even if they do get paid, it's divided like 10 times over. Hmm. And so it de-incentivizes pastors and leaders from spending their time doing things that's going to bump their paycheck. And a lot of times they're not trying to bump their paycheck for evil things. It's like, hey, I need to pay for my kid going to college. And I couldn't do another real estate deal this year that's going to pay for my kid's college. Right. So I get why they're doing it, but it's more about if you're leading in such a way where you have the capacity to do that, hopefully your church is stewarding your time and energy and paying and compensating you faithfully on that to be able to help you so that you're not incentivized by the money to do that stuff. Does that make sense?
Yeah, for sure. Dang, Will. This is all super powerful and super convicting to me. And this is why I wanted to interview you, because you got a lot of good stuff to share. And a lot of people probably wouldn't hear the things you'd share had we not had this super weird situation.
I want to just say on this podcast that I'm so proud of you. Like, as a friend, like, I'm very proud of you, not because you are savvy with marketing or able to create something that's funny and like really interesting. That's always going to be true of you. But what I am especially proud of is just the way that your heart has reacted in the midst of all of this, in the way that you have not hardened towards something or pursued a path that I think is contrary to what God would have you do, but you're very diligently trying to understand, okay, hey, I've been given this platform. How can I steward it faithfully?
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to root for you to do. And man, in all of it, man, I hope Jesus gets a lot of glory. He is worthy of all of that. There's a song called "Is He Worthy?" And the answer in the song is yes, He is worthy.
Yeah, that's good.
He's better than any shoes you could find, better than any food you could buy. He's better than all this stuff. And man, like, I really need a spirit to continue to help me understand that, remember that day to day. So that's what I want for you. It's what anybody who's listening to this, that's what I want.
Man, I appreciate that, Will. Thanks so much. Thanks for taking the time. We're pretty much out of time at this point, but if anybody wants to connect with you and admonish you via email or anything,
please, will@thecitychurch.net.
will@thecitychurch.net. Will Bostian, thanks for your time again. And I imagine this won't be the last time we talk, either in public or private. So again, I appreciate you. Hope you have a good rest of the week.
Yeah. Love you, buddy.
I absolutely loved my conversation with Will and walked away immensely convicted and challenged. Be sure to connect with him via email at will@thecitychurch.net. If you made it this far, thank you for sticking around. Also, if you haven't already, please make sure you rate, review, and subscribe to the Preachers and Sneakers podcast on Apple, Spotify, and Google. Thanks again for tuning in to the Preachers and Sneakers podcast.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.